Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Well, I am super fantastic and feeling a little strange. How about you?
a little bit sleep deprived. I tell you, like most of the rest of the nation, I guess we both were up watching the returns last night until pretty late. So yeah,
we were up late.
We seem a little.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's normally a thing. I'm going to watch it until somebody wins, but last night was especially addictive because not only was this story like unfolding over hours and hours and hours, but we were talking about before the show there was a fun app, right? The guy to be tracking the whole thing with the whole time. It was like a multimedia experience. You're watching it on TV, and you're tracking how things are progressing using this New York Times app, AI, I guess, driven app that was tracking the probabilities the whole time. That made, you know, putting everything else aside, and we'll get to the strangeness in just a moment, pretty good TV last night, right? A pretty entertaining evening for the, you know, not for the whole family, but for those who wanted to stay up, just in terms of watching the whole thing unfold. I mean, some would call it a horror movie, you know. Some were delighted by the outcome. Some of us more like, well, there it is, you know, that's who won. But it was fascinating to watch, that's for sure.
I think I saw a piece of advice that you actually posted earlier, Phil, is if you like the outcome, don't gloat, you know, keep – and if you didn't, please don't despair. You know, it's not as bad as you think, and nor is it likely to be the dawn of a golden age either. It's it's another election. So
yeah.
Anyway, I find
I get a little
we
more,
hope for the best
a little
for our
more circumspect with each one. You know, every time I'm because I figured it out the other night in Lifetime. I am 2 for 9 on presidential elections. Okay. So, I don't go into it with a big expectation that my candidate's going to win anyhow, you know, with that kind of record, I expect to lose, you know, so it sort of takes the sting out right from the start. But hey, we're not just talking about presidential politics here this evening. This is part two of our series called The Power of Strange. We're celebrating, in an odd way, the release of Marvel's Doctor Strange last week. It's a big hit movie this week. And I thought, you know, that's just a great word, strange. So we've been doing shows all week about how strange the world is. Monday's show, due to a technical difficulty, only showed up on the servers earlier today. So if you've missed that, go back and listen to Monday's show. We talk about strangeness in the world. Actually in how the universe works, the kind of deep strangeness built into the physical laws of the universe. That's our Monday show. And then tonight, our topic is the world getting weirder? How strange of a world do we live in? And that throws us right back into the election because I think that few things could be stranger than the fact that Donald Trump has just been elected president of the United States. I mean, I'm saying that just as an objective fact. If you go back in time 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, and, you know, future Stephen sits down with, you know, 2014 Stephen and says, guess what's going to happen in 2 years, right? You know, would you believe him? I guess you'd have to believe future Stephen, but, you know, I would think he was messing with it.
It'd probably be a similar conversation that Marty McFly had with Doc Brown. Ronald Reagan, the actor?
Yeah.
You know, it's not likely, you know, not an easy story to sell. It's just kind of a bizarre outcome, you know. I want to reach out to a lot of, you know, there are going to be people in our audience feel that are going to be just horrified by this outcome. And there was one piece of commentary I caught last night that I found kind of disturbing, and I thought I'd kind of respond to it because it was called a white lash on CNN. What happened?
Van
last
Jones,
night.
Yeah,
and yeah. And that's it's just not borne out.
Stephen, what's a white lash? Explain what that means for people
who
haven't
heard that. Identity politics. It's identity politics on the by white people. You know, just white people saying enough is enough. We've had it with all these various shades of people other than white asserting their power, and we're banding together and reclaiming our country, you know, making America great and whiter again, I guess is the idea, right? Well, it's, you know, it turns out that Mitt Romney actually got more white votes than Trump did last night, and also that Trump did better with Hispanics and with blacks than Mitt Romney did. So to me, that little piece of information if you're concerned about your country having gone just stone cold racist on you overnight, consider that before you write off your fellow countrymen as racist. You could still disagree with the outcome, but not look at the rest of your countrymen as racist. Perhaps maybe you can shelve that and say, well, you know what, I disagree, and the people that voted for Trump were wrong, but at least they weren't wrong because they were racist. And
the where that puts us is it throws us right back into strange, right? It's like, okay, it's not racist.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And in fact, you can let that weirdness soak in, because one of the prevailing narratives is that Trump was very popular with white voters because he was, either, depending on who you hear talk about it, either a flagrant, blatant, you know, race agitator and racist, or somebody who towed that line a little closer than they should and, you know, kept opening his big mouth and saying things that, a more reserved and, in control person wouldn't say, right? But one way or another, that he was either deliberately or accidentally sending – filling his message with these racial cues and running a campaign based on hatred and bigotry and blah 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 and that whole thing. And it's like, okay, well, you get to the end and it's like he actually did better with Hispanics and blacks than Romney did, and worse with white people. So it does kind of throw that narrative out the window, or at least it calls it severely into question. And it's also just like, well, how did we ever get Donald Trump as president? You know, to me, that's the strange part. Because I got to tell you, this is me personally talking, okay? And I'm not a political pundit. I try to be a good citizen. I try to pay attention to what's going on in the country. But I can tell you that a year ago, right, I would have told you in no uncertain terms that it's absolutely impossible, no matter how well he's doing right now in this early stage, it's absolutely impossible that Donald Trump is going to get the Republican nomination, right? There's no way that could happen. And I remember sitting watching the convention with my wife, you know, we're watching it on TV and he's accepting. And I'm going, I don't believe this, right? I mean, obviously it's happened, but this is just bizarre. I just, you know, I've seen it happen.
Well,
I don't believe it.
if you go back about a year, I believe I mentioned on this show that I called it either a joke candidacy or a novelty candidacy is what I referred
right.
To his, you know, when he was still, you know, running in the primaries. You know, and I just, you know, he's
like
entertained.
Frank that's
he's,
gotten
you know,
out of
and,
hand.
And
yeah.
he brings eyeballs to the debates, and that's fine. But, you know, ultimately, he'll be winnowed out, and we'll the adults in the room will take over, and we'll have someone more, a little more serious. Is was my thought about a year ago, and that's
and I got to tell you, even after he had the nomination, I really didn't see any way he was going to win. Honestly, that's not partisanship or. Because I'm not partisan, and I didn't like either of them. But to me, it was just like, well, the media will close ranks. This guy has no chance, right? I mean, they will drag him over the finish line if they have to, but he cannot win. And then after the revelation of that tape from 2005, I'm like, just put everything else away, right? Forget everything. Forget that it's Trump. Forget that he's a Republican or a Democrat or whoever. How could any anybody running for president survive that, right? How could anybody in mid-October have that thing come out and then they win, right? And I mean, it's just as bizarre on the other side, and I guess that's what allows it to happen, right? When you go, okay, so every day we read more emails from her server that are like further incriminating. I mean, you know, it's just this. I mean, in fact, last night I was watching when Podesta came out to announce that Hillary wasn't going to come out and you can all go home. They said, here's John Podesta.
Yeah.
I went up and I'm like, oh, the dude from the emails. I mean, to me, that's who John Podesta is, right? It's like, you know, the
guy. Not necessarily the surrogate they needed at the moment to remind you of. They probably should have sent somebody
else
out.
That's what that name meant.
And
to
now
me,
to make the
like,
announcement,
oh, yeah.
Anthony Weiner, you know. that would not have been good.
And what about that, right? When the whole thing starts back up again, the investigation into her starts back up again, it's somehow linked to this Mondo bizarre Anthony Weiner. I mean, just the whole thing, as I said in the show notes.
The whole thing is...
You couldn't sell it as fiction because it is just preposterous, right? It is absolutely ridiculous. You state the facts and you go, there's just no way any of this happens. And it's what happened.
Some alternate universe, normal things are happening, Phil. In some alternate universe, but we're not there. We're living some strange here. This is weird.
That is
so,
exactly
yeah.
what I said. Okay, if you want to believe that there's no alternate, there's no such thing as parallel universes, then you have to believe that this is the real reality. And I've got to say, we're on Earth 2 or something, right? We're wearing the goatees, okay? The real Enterprise is flying back there on where like it was Rubio and he won or something. I mean, it just I don't know. The whole thing is just so bizarre that I actually I really have thought about it, and I think this is a failure of imagination on my part. To me, the upside spin of this, and we're going to get into this a little bit on Friday too, the upside of this is that even in this bizarre case where you can be happy about it, you can be horrified by it, or you can be, kind of like, well, let's see what happens. This is what's occurred, which I think, quite a few of us are. This just demonstrates the depth of possibility that we're up against all the time, Weird stuff can happen. Unexpected, unlikely things can happen. And if you didn't believe that before, you pretty much have to believe it on this date, I would say. From now on, you really got to believe that strange things can happen. What do you think?
Well, this is 2016, Phil. This has got to be the weirdest year of my life. I mean, the Cubs win the World Series. There's Brexit. Right?
Exactly.
And Donald Trump wins the presidency. There has to be other examples, but those are some weird. That's some weird stuff.
It is. It's all happened concurrently, right? I mean, these things are all kind of happening in a row, to the point where you almost start to wonder if it's all connected, right? Is there some agent of strangeness, right, that's been pumped up? Have we cranked up the strangeness motor somehow? And I think it's entirely possible that we have. If we look, I think there are clues to this when we look maybe at some of the other strange things. But here's one of them that I think gives a bit of a clue, which is that we now live in an age where you really have to carefully filter real news from fake news, right? This is a change from, say, even 6 months ago, when it was you had to really carefully filter real news from satire fake news, right? Somebody trying to be funny. So people would post fake news stories, but they're ultimately trying to get a laugh. Maybe it's been about a year that switch has occurred, but now it's flat out, we're making this up to to incite people's anger news, right? It's really kind of hard to describe, but if you look at Facebook, just about every time I see a completely outrageous story and somebody's really mad about it, I go, what's the source, right? I don't know if I've ever heard of that one. I mean, people were really irritated last week about a story that had run in the Denver Guardian. And, you know, luckily I knew that one was, you know, no such thing, and was able to say, you know what, that's a fake newspaper. You don't have to worry about it. I can't remember what the story was. It was some outrageous thing Trump had done, I think. But what's going on there? Are people just making ad dollars off outrageous headlines? Is that why they do it? Or are they trying to?
I think a lot of it's clickbait. But you know, there you linked to a TED talk recently, Phil, where there's in this TED talk, I think it was Julia Galef. I guess that's how you pronounce her name. She spoke about the difference between motivated reasoning versus scout think or something. I forget how she put it. I'm speaking from memory, and I don't remember which one it was. But anyway, motivated reasoning is where you actually have an ideology and you take the facts and you basically put them together in such a way that it fits with your preconceived notions. Okay,
right.
Whereas being a scout is that you're actively searching for the truth, and you're going to let the chips fall where they may, regardless of what your preconceived notions are, which is a hard thing to do. It's hard to lay your biases aside, and it's hard work, and most people don't bother to do it. I mean, all you have to do is get on Facebook and you can read your friends, and I mean, you know, as it turns out, most of your friends are going to agree with you. That's part of the reason they're your friends, right?
Right. Exactly.
Because again, you know, and but you can just kind of see the waves of crap sometimes, you know, flow through your friends' posts sometimes on Facebook because even though it's complete crap, it backs up how, you know, their preconceived notions as to how the world is already. And so,
right,
you know, people will just absolutely buy it hook, line, and sinker when it's completely false. And so I try to find two or three sources, you know, when I see something before I'll repost something that, you know, can you believe this latest thing? Well, before I hit repost, I want to, Let me check against about three or four different sources first, because this might, you know, the madder it makes me, the more likely it turns out to be crap, you know,
because it's
obviously appealing to my preconceived notions if it's making me mad you have to watch that stuff. You really have to, in order to engage in true scout think, you've got to it's hard. You have to engage your brain and lay aside your preconceived notions sometimes. So,
well, and
it was a good TED talk.
I think you're exactly right. I think that is the thing that allows that to work. People are looking for that. They are actively looking for things to feed their biases, and oddly, to enrage them more than they're already enraged, right? They're looking for the thing, because it's almost like addictive, right? You're looking for the thing to give you that next burst of adrenaline or whatever the hormone is that kind of pumps you up and keeps you moving in this discourse. And the interesting thing about fake news is it really just took a model that existed and perfected it, right? Because the existing model was you take a news story and you give it an outrageous headline and everybody clicks on it to go read about it, right? And then they get into the story. I mean, I've talked about headlines forever, right? And then you get into the story and it's like, well, that headline isn't really accurate, but here I am now reading the news story. Now everybody's on my site and they're clicking my ads and I'm making money. I mean, it's actually kind of, in retrospect, inevitable, right, that somebody would do this. It's like, well, wait a second.
Well, why even bother with the article being true? Make it all up.
Yeah, I can come up with a really outrageous headline and just make up all a story. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, exactly right. I can make up a story that'll give me a hell of a headline, way more offensive than what other people are putting out there. If you're not even pretending to tell the truth, right? You win, right? Everybody's going to click on your stuff. It's like because it's outrageous. So as strange as that one seems, it is inevitable. It is, you know, it's like a developmental optima, oddly enough, for clickbait. It's kind of like
Well, and all of this, of course, contributes to polarization, which is, you know.
Yes.
It's pretty much what we have now, right? I mean, there's us versus them, and that's about all we've got. I mean, it's a little bit sad. take a Facebook holiday, maybe is my prescription to kind of, you know, depolarize yourself just slightly and begin thinking of your fellow Americans as people, regardless of their ideologies. And
I think a social media holiday is always in order. It's a good idea all the time, right? give yourself a break anytime. But right now is especially good. This is an especially good time to take a few days off. Because I think I was telling you before the show, I spent too much time on Facebook today. And I got into it with people about nonsense, you know, and it's like suddenly you're fighting with people and it's like, why, you know, this is just not even worth it. And you know, it's like you're somehow feeding the monster, right? You're messing up real relationships potentially in your life with actual people over memes that are kind of carrying you along. And you know, it's like, who's driving this thing anymore? Yeah. I think this is a really good time to be off social media. I found the same thing last year. And I got to say, I've got a good mix of ideologies amongst my friends. And I found my conservative friends so tiresome last year with all their, that's it, America's over, you know, the day after the election. It's like, oh, just grow up, dry up, whatever. And it's the same, thing this year from all my liberal friends, right? You know, it's like, it's like, oh, come on, it's okay. Geez, take a pill, drink some water, relax, you know. It's like the platform has turned us into the biggest drama queen crybabies, right? That you can imagine. I mean, everything kind of gets pushed to this extreme, and I think maybe that accounts for, you know, in a sense, the technology kind of accounts for the strangeness that technology is really enabling a stranger world than we've lived in before. You know, we did these shows a couple weeks ago about how we're living in a science fiction story, right? And I would list Elon Musk's Mars program and the Zuckerberg plan to end disease as part of the 2016 "The World is a Very Strange Place" phenomenon that you were just talking about, right? All of this driven by technology, isn't it? Technology is making us more capable. I think it's opening up these possibilities. And, the strange is just going to keep cranking up. That's my prediction.
Obviously our hope is that these technologies enhance the human within us and rather than dehumanize. And,
yeah.
I think there's, with social media, there is a tendency
You know, you're just banging away on your laptop and not knowing or caring really that, you know, that what you're doing is essentially, you know, yelling at somebody, you know, your particular ideology in a way that you never would carry on if in a face to face conversation. You know,
that's right.
You know, if you were you know, having a discussion with you know, liberal Uncle Fred, and you're conservative, you're not going to just, you know, ream him over the coals over voting for Hillary, and it are and the vice versa is true as well, right? You're gonna kind of,
right.
You know, you just try. You might just sort of drop a little, a little hint that maybe he might want to soften his liberal ways. Maybe you might do that, but you're not going to sit there and rake him over the coals like you might be have a tendency to do when it's just, you know, a computer screen and text, right? And so,
right.
You kind of remember that there's there's other real people involved in this stuff, and you gotta.
And it's easy to do all this. You know, I'm gonna unfriend you. I'm gonna unfollow you. You know, you're dead to me now, right? Because we disagree on this political thing, and it's really quite awful. You know, the potential for human relationships being damaged and just basically interactions between us becoming much more strident, much more polarized, as you said. And that's definitely the downside to the strange, because here's what we got to be looking for. What's the word that goes with strange? What do you want things to be? Strange and what?
And beautiful, or strange and special.
Yeah, strange and wonderful was the phrase I was going for. But that is the side of it that we haven't hit yet, right? It's like we've allowed technology to deliver a weird world, and there's hints of the wonderful. If you look at the Mark Zuckerberg and his wife trying to cure all disease, that is wonderful, right? I think we discussed that on the show. Elon Musk telling us all let's move to Mars, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful stuff. We need the technology to push us that way. We need PJ on the show for one thing, right? She would help me make this case about empathy and people getting along a lot better than I'm able to, but we need the technology to push us into it's so nice how, you know, it's nice how weird it's gotten between us, right? It's strange that we're all getting along so well. It's strange that we're seeing new things in each other and appreciating each other.
We want E.T. Strange, not Freddy Krueger Strange, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
We want Strange and Wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what
or,
we
you
want.
Know, compare it. Alien and E.T., right? There's two movies with a strange alien creature in it. Yeah. Which strange
you
do you want? Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think, you know, I think our goal has got to be to recognize, to not do what I did, which is fail to imagine what could be. We've got to really open up our minds and say, you know what, anything can happen in this world now. So, you know, the Cubs can win the freaking series, right? We're talking about
we're talking about the gates are open now.
Yeah, the gates are open. So we've really got to focus now on what's in the adjacent possible and what's in the deep possible. That's, you know, that's going to add beauty and kindness and goodness to our world. We've got to start looking at those things. This is kind of the responsibility that the new capability of technology is giving us. And I guess that's our mission going into the future, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and we're going to hit some more of this stuff on Friday too. I hope our audience will tune in. We'll be a whole lot less political, I promise you. This is about as political as we ever get as tonight's show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. In the aftermath of an election. That was strange.
Yeah, exactly.
That we spent so much time talking about politics. But come Friday, join us, and we're going to talk. We are going to spin this into the future. We're going to talk about how weird the future might be, and with an eye to making it wonderful, Stephen. I think that's our mission now. It's been great talking with you. Thank you all for being with us. Stephen, look forward to talking to you. And until next time, live to see it.